You're listening to Talking Baseball with Ed Randall, presented by MLB.com. He's Ed Randall. He's talking baseball. What more do you need?
Hi, everybody. I'm Ed Randall, Big Ed and Nora's baby boy, and welcome to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball. How many of you out there have brothers? Imagine having three brothers in a major league outfield at the same time. It happened to the San Francisco Giants many years ago, one September, with Felipe, Matty, and Jesus Alou manning the outfield for the San Francisco Giants at the same time. And Felipe Alou joins us now. A night, Felipe, that we may never ever see again. It was unbelievable. Tell us about it.
Well, it's been a long time since that happened, but to me, it gets bigger and bigger because I just don't see it happening again. And while the reason, it's a joke, I said, people don't have that many children anymore. And let alone three children that are boys. And even worse, three children that play baseball. And even worse, three children that play Major League Baseball. So it's really unbelievable combination. And I thank God for that. It happened. We were born in a very small neighborhood close to the city capital of Santo Domingo, and my dad never played baseball. My mom was the daughter of a man that came to the Dominican Republic from Spain and didn't know anything about baseball, but it did happen. And not only that, it was almost four brothers, because our younger brother, one, was a good switch hitter, infielder, and he's not known. Today he's a civil engineer. Mm-hmm. He went the other way to graduate. We had a revolution in 1965, and he wound up having to go to Puerto Rico to continue his studies. And the Giants always wanted to sign him, but our parents were a little, he was the last boy in the house. They were a little hesitant to let him sign. So that is one of the reasons that we're only three brothers. It could have been four brothers with the Giants.
What do you remember about that night with your brothers in the outfield?
Well, you know, it was for us was actually a normal night, even though it was in the big league. We had done it many, many times in the Dominican Winter League.
Right.
And when we realized it was in the big leagues, after really a few days passed, and it was all over in TV, radio, and the newspaper. We understood it was a big event, and we were very proud of it. You know, Matty Alou passed away a few years ago. It's only Jay Alou and I are still kicking. But it was wonderful. It was great for our family. I think it was great for baseball, and also great for our country, the Dominican Republic.
Sure. And what that meant with the three of you in the outfield meant that Willie Mays was sitting on the bench.
Well, Alvin Dark was our manager. He told me, being the oldest, one of the more experienced, that one day he was going to have the three of us play, and Willie was going to get a little bit of a rest. And he did it. And, you know, Willie's the kind of player, the kind of person, he's still living, that when he was the best player in the big league, he wanted to play every inning, you know, every game, but it was nice that he said, oh, Alvin, yeah, go ahead and do that. That's going to make history, and it did happen.
Yeah. It was an unbelievable night, a great achievement, something that we may never see again, and here we have these three very talented brothers playing for the San Francisco Giants at a time in which the Giants had Willie McCovey and Orlando Cepeda, and they were bucking for time at first base, and one of them would have to go play the outfield, and eventually all three of you got traded from the Giants because there was so much talent there.
Yeah, it did. We didn't expect it to happen so quickly, but myself, and I was really down, my family was down. All three of us wound up being traded. But it worked for the better for us. I wound up being even a better player with the Braves. Mm-hmm. And Matty Alou, a much better player with the Pirates. He led the league in hitting once, came in second, I believe, twice. It was good for the fact that we made our money with different teams, and the Giants really with all of those outfielders, not only that, Jose Cardenal, remember that name, was tremendous outfielder, was in the minor league coming up, and it was not only the Alou brother, it was Willie Kirkland got traded, Leon Wagner got traded.
Right.
It was just too many outfielders.
Yeah, there was so much talent there, and yet many years later, you and Matty wound up together yet again on the New York Yankees.
Yeah, we went there together. We were at the tail end of our career. I had a pretty good year with the Yankees my first year, and then as a part-time guy, and then the last couple of years I was just another extra guy, but the fact that Matty and I got together was really great. It was nice.
You had such a wonderful career. Is there one night that stands out, one game that stands out that still resonates with you?
Well, I believe that there was some pretty good nights, especially the night that we beat the Dodgers. Yeah, Dodgers Town at Dodger Stadium in a playoff, the final playoff game of best of three. But myself personally, we went to St. Louis to inaugurate a ballpark, 1966, I think it was.
Right, it was.
I hit two home runs. I hit the first home run ever hit at that stadium. I believe I hit also the second home run ever hit there. And I wound up having a 4-for-5 day at Old Busch Stadium. Yeah.
And then when you talk about that playoff with the Dodgers in 1963, best of three, I believe it was the Giants with the teams at 1-1 in games in the ninth inning. The Giants scored four runs and came from behind to win and then go on and play the Yankees in an unbelievable seven-game World Series.
That was right. Yeah, that one particular game, we were behind 4-2 in the ninth inning, and it is the only time that I have gone inside a clubhouse and prayed God to help us. I asked God to help us. I didn't say help us win or help me or anything. Help us, and we wound up winning the game. I didn't really do anything. I think I walked. I walked and I scored a run. But Mario Lou, my brother, started off with a base hit, a drag bunt. And that led to an incredible big inning against some pretty good pitchers. They all looked nervous. Every pitcher that they brought in, it was like something divine affected them. And
your prayers were working.
That's right. even the fielder made mistakes and all of that stuff. I believe even the manager made a mistake. But that's the way. It was a great night also.
At what point in time did you decide you wanted to stay in the game and then eventually went on and had a fantastic career as a manager?
Well, the Giants told me, the Giants signed me for 2 years to make a transition after Dusty Baker was let go after World Series trip. I was supposed to be there after a year that turned into 4 years. Right. And when the fourth year was over, they told me that was the end of my being a manager of the Giants, but they offered me to stay. And I didn't hesitate. I told them, yes, I want to stay. That was my first team. I didn't see me going to another team again. I was traded 5 times during my career. And San Francisco was my home. I became a man there. I learned how to drive a vehicle there. It was my first major, got my first major league hit there. It's so many, my World Series there, my first All-Star game with the Giants. It was a no-brainer. So I'm staying here until one day the end is gonna come.
Right. But yet you were still such a valued member of this San Francisco Giants organization. So 2 years turned into 4 years with the Giants. But prior to which, and I want to talk about your time in Montreal. 1994, you're the manager of a team that is 74-40 on August 11th when play stops. And we go into our nuclear winter with the strike of all strikes, and we don't come back and play baseball again till 1995. What a phenomenal team you had.
Yeah, that was, no question, the best team I ever managed.
Pedro was your number two starter.
Pedro was, well, he was there, number two. In Montreal, there was a rule that you could name number one, number two, number three because of economics. Mm-hmm. I made a mistake to say, well, this guy is my number one and that guy number two. And the front office called me and said, don't ever say that. Because a number one is going to make more money, a number two more money. So we really had all of them were number five over there. But anyways.
But you had Kenny Hill.
Yeah, Kenny Hill to me was my number two and Pedro number three.
Right.
Jeff Acero was going to win 20 games, I believe that. Yeah, we had great pitching staff. We had a bullpen that if my starting pitcher gave me five or six innings, they were going to have to face the life of Jeff Shaw, Mel Rojas, John Wetland, et cetera. To me, that is the most complete ball club that I ever managed. You had speed, power, youth, defense, and tremendous hitting, and tremendous pitching and bullpen. But even though it was cut short, it's some bad memories to it. A lot of great players were developed from that team. They came out to, they went away around the world to make a lot of money and win World Series. I got to be the manager of the year, believe it or not, in a short season. And I also got some confidence, big confidence as a manager after that season, even though it was a call off.
How so?
Well, I believe that I could. I had a thought that we were going to go to a World Series. I thought that I could manage a playoff type of team. It happened with the Giants. Unfortunately, we were defeated in the Giants by a real good club that the Marlins had that they went on to be the world champions.
Right, in 2003.
Yeah, I believe that it was either us or the Marlins. Whoever won that first playoff, they had a real good ball club, and they won the playoff against us. But it gives managers a great deal of, I would say, confidence, you know, when you manage a good team like that. I believe that a good manager takes a good team to playoff. It is tough for a good manager to take a mediocre or bad team to playoff. But usually a good skipper will take a good team to playoff. And I'm going to stop short there, you know. But I really believe that. And when we win all those games with a young team or a good team, I could manage any kind of team.
Had history been different and you had played through the season, and presumably, possibly, you may have played the New York Yankees in the World Series because they were doing so well with Buck Showalter. Maybe that stadium gets built downtown in Montreal and history is completely different.
Yeah, there's no question about it, even if we didn't make the playoff. But that was going to be very difficult not to make the playoff with that kind of club. We had a six-game lead. Our club was getting better. I believe the last 25 games, we had won like 20 and 5, something like that. And getting better, getting more experience. I remember seeing Tom Glavine when it was all over. The Braves and the Expo used to share.
Right, West Palm Beach.
West Palm Beach. And I went to pick up all my gear at the stadium, and Tom Glavine was in this committee of players that were dealing with the owner.
He was one of the player reps for the union.
One of the players. And we ran into each other, and he told me, Felipe, this is all over. I knew it was all over. But he also told me, we knew the Braves that it was going to be very difficult to catch up with you guys, the way you guys were getting better. Tom Glavine told me that. But going back to building the stadium, it was really sad because if we'd have even had a great season, maybe go to the first round or whatever, maybe ownership and the business people there would have probably woke up to the fact that Montreal was really not a bad city. Montreal never built a stadium. I don't know, maybe it happened before. I don't know of any major league city that didn't build a major league appeal for the team. Montreal didn't do it in 36 years, you know. And I still believe that if they get a stadium built, they're going to get their fans to come. We don't know yet one way or the other one, but the one thing we know is they never built a stadium. We built at a very poor college stadium at the beginning, the Expos. I played there for the Expos. And then we moved into an Olympic stadium that was built for the Olympic Games. So we really don't know what kind of baseball city Montreal is until we build a stadium.
But as you know, Warren Cromartie is heading an effort to try to restore baseball to Montreal.
Yeah, he is. You know, he's pushing. He's not alone. There's some other people behind that. Cromartie is a guy that he's been doing that for a long time. It looks better. It sounds better every day. But I would believe it. I would believe it when the commitment to build the stadium is for real. As long as we have teams going over there to play exhibition games, and they pack it every time.
They do.
They pack it, and the fans really are asking for it. But without a stadium, it's not going to be a team. They could start playing back at Olympic Stadium until they finish their real ballpark. But going back to Olympic Stadium, I don't believe it's going to work.
Would you like to be managing today with, and it's so much more complex than it was when you managed, and it's not that long ago that you managed.
No. When I stopped managing the Giants, I knew I was not going to manage it anymore. But I don't really believe it's more complex. I believe, you know, we are here in front of a baseball field. When the game starts, it is the same struggle. It is the same game. I believe that as long as the bases and at the same distance that they were when Ty Cobb played on Babe Ruth, and I believe that the mound is the same distance. There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of information out there that everybody has. Mm-hmm. Nobody really has an edge. All of these stats and all of that, you know, it's good. It was really good if only one team or two knew it, but everybody knows everything. I believe the game is still the same, you know. There's some great athletes. There were some great athletes when I first came up in 58. Before I came up, when I was a kid, there was a terrible number of great players. The number is still here. I know there are some problems with substances now. Free agency is tough like that, but when they call play ball, any manager could tell you this is the same game because especially if you have played the game. You know, I played the game 17 years in the big league and a few years in the minor league. I managed winter ball for almost 20 years. So a manager and a player could tell you it is the same game when they say play ball. There's nothing new out there. I know they don't slide at the plate to break up, knock down the catcher. The breakup of a double play have been, you know, kind of changed also in between a couple of minutes, you know. It's not a change. It's not a change. It's going to happen. They might call a guy out for going too far or if he hit the catch, but that's not a change to me. I think the game is old enough, strong enough, and big enough, and good enough as it was 50 years ago.
So even with the sabermetrics, even with now the shifting of the infielders, even with 8 to 10 pitchers, specialists in the bullpens, pitch counts, it's still 4 balls, 3 strikes, 3 outs.
That is created by science. I said about not only baseball, about science in general. I believe our game of baseball is a game of common sense. If I was a hitter today, I could handle the bat when I was a hitter. I don't see the shift. I could hit and beat that shift. There are many players who are doing that now. But going back to technology, there's technology supposed to win the game in science, but common sense, it will prevail. When they call play ball. That's the way I feel about it.
Are you bothered by the bat flips and players bringing attention to themselves?
I'm bothered, but it's not part of the game. You know, flip a bat when you're running after a fly ball or when you're running the bases. It is a show that has really nothing to do with the game per se. We field in your position, running the bases well, pitching well, the bat, it is maybe a lack of respect to the other team, or maybe so to the game per se, but it's not really part of the mechanics of the game. That, this is, I believe, what we're talking about, the game between the lines, the game in action. I believe flipping a bat is not the game in action. That's the way I feel about it.
During the season, what will you be doing? The Giants are so lucky to have you as a special assistant. What will you be doing during the season for the Giants?
Well, many things. I don't have one special area. I spent training, the entirety of spring training, between the major league club and the minor league club. Actually, I spend more time with the minor league players than the major league players, because I know the major league players. I know who they are. I know what they're capable of doing. But as soon as I send the first group of players to the minor league complex, I come down myself to most of the times. Because I want to see, I want to evaluate every player that we have in the complex, every pitcher. My own evaluation. I believe it's an evaluation that I have some experience behind it. And I do some teaching. I talk especially with hitters on the side. You know, we have some wonderful hitting coaches in our system, and it is showing, you know, at the big league level. Our entire infield, we develop those, and our catcher posted, we develop all of the entire infield and our catcher. But there's always room for improvement. And that is why I love to be here at the minor league complex. There's a night game at the big league club. I might go there for 5 innings, but then I'm going to go home to sleep and come back to the minor league tomorrow. I believe I serve better the job that they have given me, evaluating young guys. I do visit a number of minor league teams during the summer. I do some, not scouting, but evaluating players, the Cuban players. We check some amateur players. We stay busy. We go to the academy in my country, in the Dominican Republic. So we stay busy 12 months. It is a lot of fun because I also get a lot of time to go and catch a fish in Palm Beach, Florida, where I live.
What a joy to have you on the show. The Giants are so lucky to have you, and thank you so much for being with me.
Thank you. Thank you.
So that'll do it for us on MLB.com. If you're listening on the move, thanks for the ride, and thanks for listening to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball.